Thank you, Pastor Dave. God bless you. Good morning. I pray to God that you came expecting because God has something he wants to give you this morning. So far, 2 years in a row, I'm doing like July 4th-ish today. Last year, I was right on July 4th, had an opportunity to preach. And next year, if I'm preaching around this time, I'll say, my annual July 4th message, but that's not. But I will tell you this, we will celebrate an independence today because the Word of God the Word of God makes you free. Amen. I'm trying to get rid of the set out of it because it seems like a kind of a progressive, but Jesus said it is finished. So the Word of God makes you free. Everybody say that with me. The Word of God makes me free. Okay, I'm not sure. Did you not have coffee? Were you out doing a hoo-ha last night? I don't know what. Okay. So, title of our message this morning is, what's your problem? And you can say that 5,000 different ways, especially with the English language. The English language is like touted as the most difficult language on the planet Earth for anyone who doesn't speak English to learn. They got a bunch of twos, bunch of ones, couple wheres, couple I's. You know, it's just like, what? And what's your problem can be done the same way. Watch, I'm gonna prove it to you. You ready? What's your problem? Or, what's your problem? Or, what's your problem? I mean, it goes on and on and on. What's your problem? Psalm 42, verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Everything you ever wanted to know about depression is found in that one sentence. About how to get over depression, about how to get through depression, even when depression jumps on you. Everything you wanted to know. You want to know why I know that? Because I suffered with it, even as a Christian. As a follower of Christ, one morning I woke up, I was in this tiny little church in the middle of this tiny little town. For those of you watching, there's a town called Hull. It's like right on the beach area. Oh, it's just, if you're single and I don't care if you're a man or a woman and you don't have kids and if you just want to go to like hibernate, that's the place to do it. And so as I was living there, actually I just moved from there, but our church was there. Had lived there for a little while. In this tiny little church, you know, you have to do, if you got like 10 people and you're running a church, everybody does everything. I had like 42 jobs on a Sunday morning. Youth, children, music, preaching, cleanup, administration, all on a Sunday morning. One Sunday, I was in such a place, I didn't know what hit me. I just curled up the covers and laid there. Didn't make a phone call, didn't nothing. All of a sudden, there's a knock at my door. I look at the clock and I'm like, well, it can't be no church folk, because church already started. Safe to answer the door. I got up, I opened the door, it's my pastor. I'm like, who's watching the store? He says, oh, we have a surprise guest I didn't tell you about. His wife at the time, her name was Heidi, said, John, you need to go. You need to go see Tom. Talk about the man or the shepherd who went after the one, leaving the 99. Our pastor's done that for me. You be blessed if someone does that for you, and it will resound in your being for the rest of your life. So he said, what's going on? I said, well, this, that, and the other. He said, okay, I'll see you tonight. I didn't show up to church that night either. And this is a dude who, like, is not me. Like, I'm like, ha, da, da, you know, I'm like a circus act. I'm a walking volcano. This guy's like, you know, all the T's are crossed, eyes are dotted, kind of talks like this, you know, scientist, mathematical mind. And he kind of looked at me and the next day and said, what is going on? Without like losing his tree on me. I just sent his store into the toilet for like 2 days in a row, to a morning and at night. All the responsibility. I said, I don't know what's happening. He said, okay, let's do it. Let's deal with this. God has allowed this to touch you. Let's deal with this. I wound up seeing a guy by the name of Dr. Prince. At first, I used to call him in my, sorry, Dr. Prince, if you're even watching. I used to, he's the Prince of Darkness. He's wicked. Rah, rah, rah. By the time I started feeling better after some medication, a lot of prayer, he was the Prince of Peace. God had sent this man into my life. I made a decision, though. You got to understand what's happening here. I was in this bad place, but I made a choice to go in a particular direction. And people will make choices to either just stay there and not do anything. All right. Two things I want you to know about God this morning. He does not get disappointed in you. See, a lot of people get crazy about God and like, oh, he must have, I didn't do and I didn't. God doesn't get disappointed because, newsflash, God is not surprised by anything you do or don't do. Everybody all right with that? And number two, God weeps for you. God, through Jesus Christ, shed tears on this planet for his people. God weeps for you. So, why art thou cast down, O my soul? What turns your frown upside down? What makes you happy? What do you do, or where do you go to escape? What do you use to numb the pain, your current affliction? What will you put your trust in? Who will you call on when the walls of your existence come crashing down? Verse 8 of Psalm 42 says this, yet the Lord will command his love and kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. Let me read that again. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. So God's got me covered while the sun's up. And in the night, his song shall be with me. God's got me covered when the sun goes down. So round the clock, God's got me. And he gives me what I need. What does he give me? His loving kindness. Wow. Hey now. Hey now. Come on. His loving kindness. And then at night, his song. Hey, it may not happen right away, but I promise you, you will come out of it. I promise you. If he did it for me, you people are way nicer than I am. He'll definitely do it for you. Life is not about your health, your wealth, your relationship, your job, your comforts, your calamities. Life is about two things, and only two. We are either hopeful or hopeless. That's it. Super simple. Okay, story time. Summer's about to start. And we have some critters in the backyard that seem to enjoy our grill without any food on it. And they chomped away at the coil or the rubber tubing that goes from the gas to the, you know, ignite switch. And I don't know what I was going to do because the clamp on it was factory made. So I have to buy another grill. So I got a little tiny rodent, probably cost 25 cents, the rodent itself. That's the value I'm placing on the rodent. And now I have to replace, because of a 25-cent rodent, a $350 grill. I don't have $350 for the grill. So I'm going to make a couple of inquiries. I did not know I was going to use that word this morning. That's a big word for me, inquiry. As opposed to just go, ask someone, buddy. Inquiry makes me sound like I'm way smarter than I am. And I went to the first place. Guy said, well, if you can't do this, then throw it out. Whoa. Charlie Brown, take it easy. Just like that? Yep, just like that. Oh, my gosh. So another inquiry. Call this number. Okay. And I shopped around a little bit. I mean, I was taking pictures at Lowe's. I was taking pictures at Home Depot. I'm like going back and forth with the CEO of my company. If you don't know who that is, that's my wife. And I'm like, oh, yeah, she runs the show. And, you know, all this stuff. It was a long process. And I was getting bummed out. 25-cent rodent is ruining my life. And so finally, I call up this number and I promise you. I know sometimes the translation, but this is how it went down. Ring, ring, ring. Hello? Not even like the name of the business, nothing. You know, I'm just like, oh, here we go. I'm going to be in a back alley trying to find something to fix my grill. It's going to be awful. There's going to be an explosion. I'm going to have no eyebrows. All this stuff's going through my head. So first and foremost, I called the maker of the company of the grill, right? That sounds like a good place to start. And I get this. Hello, welcome to Char Grill. How can I help you? I'm like, oh, here we go. For me, anybody that's got that accent and is in the Midwest, it's not going to help me. I know I qualified him, but I'm just thinking, the dude eats meat morning, noon, and night. It's not going to be good. So I said, hi, how you doing? He goes, how can I help you, sir? I'm like, ah, right then and there. Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. He's a follower of Christ. We go through this whole thing, and right as I'm about to get off the phone, I said, his name is Matt. I said, Matt, do you know how much God loves you? Yes, I do, sir. Praise God. We started having church. And then at this point, he says, you know, I don't get to do this a whole lot of time. I'm going to stop with the accent. It's annoying me. So, I don't get to do this a whole lot of times. Obviously, I'm on a recorded line, and this is so refreshing. Thank you. I said, I know you're on a recorded line, but I'm just going to tell whoever's listening, God is so good. God loves us. His power, his spirit. I just went on and on and on. I know Pastor Hatcher used to do the same thing all the time. People would call wrong numbers. Hey, God loves you. Click. Well, I almost had him. So finally, I know what to do, and I make this other phone call, and then I get, you know, hello? No business, no nothing. Hi, are you such and such? Yes, how can I help you? I'm like, oh, man, guys, I got this and this. Come in, I'll take care of it, my friend. I'm like, okay. So I went in, found what I needed to find, got this part. This guy was amazing. I dropped it on him too. You know how much God loves you? He looks at me, he says, I hope he loves me a lot. I go, no, you don't have to hope nothing. Gave him the gospel message. He said, thank you so much. It was so wonderful meeting you. I said, great meeting you too. And when I walked into this guy's store, let me just tell you what it looked like at first, because I wasn't so happy when I first walked in. It looked like, there used to be an old show called Sanford and Son. It was a junkyard. This is what it was. I walked in, it was a neat junkyard. I had to walk in like this going, that's your grill? Oh, awesome, awesome. Hold on, I don't want to knock nothing over. I mean, it was packed full of stuff. I wound up fixing the grill. You don't even know what went through me when I wound up fixing my grill. I had somebody had to teach me how to grill, first of all. And second of all, I don't do fixing grill stuff, as you can tell already, probably. 3 days, I'm walking around the house going, honey, I fixed the grill. Yeah, you told me. I know, I told you. I'm going to tell you again. It's not a denial of our circumstances. It is our reliance on who will take care of our circumstances. Who will part the seas of our life, then lead us on dry ground as our enemies pursue us? As we enter into the promised land that God alone has set before us according to his good pleasure and for his glory. Psalm 42, again, verse 9. I will say unto God, my rock. I love that portion of that sentence. I will say unto God, my rock, unmovable. My unmovable God, God, my rock. When I'm movable, when I'm shaking, when my knees are buckling, when everything's falling apart, when the grill's not working and I'm overwhelmed and I don't know where to go to, my rock will sustain me. It goes on in that verse. Why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of oppression of my enemy? Remember that. Put your finger on that. Because oppression will come. Oppression will come, but God will allow it so that his glory will be made known as you go through what you need to go through in order for your faith to look like a muscle guy on the beach somewhere. And all of a sudden, the skinny little, willy little tiny person that you were is not anymore. Because now your faith is built through that trial. Jesus promised. He promised, if all his promises are yes and amen, he promised we would have trial and tribulation. But I, another promise, will never forsake you. Two promises God holds true to both of those promises. And when he does, the same glory that God, that Moses couldn't look at is manifested through you. So God is made known to every single human being on the planet Earth. Verse 11, it's the end of that chapter, and it goes like this. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall praise him who is the health, huge word, of my countenance and my God. So if you're not feeling so great about yourself and your health, your health, God will take care of that too. The scriptures are not about us, but they are emphatically for us. I worked at a car dealership. I would rather have an ice pick shoved into my neck over and over and over and over and over again than to work at another car dealership. God, if you're listening, I know you are, and I know that's not your plan, period. End of that sentence right there. I worked at a car dealership for a year. I sold one car in a year. One. It was the first day I started working there. I sold it to a woman named Grace. God was rolling laughing at me the whole time. Grace was her name. Sold one car the whole year. And I didn't understand why I was in this position. I knew that God would meet my physical need, and he did. But I just couldn't understand why this place. And then, as the days went by, I started seeing what work was. Work, I want you to know this right now, is not a job. It's not your vocation. I know. Yes, it is. I've been here 30 years. Okay, relax. But if you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have one job, and that is to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to every single breathing human being. Maybe sometime they might be dead and you're going to be used to raise them, but every human being who would be touched by salvation, that is your job. That is the only job you have. Everything else is an assignment under your job. How you like that? You like that? Yes. I like that. So I'm on this assignment, and I start preaching and telling the co-workers there about the gospel. Crazy thing happened as I was telling these people, one after another. Within a matter of days, they would be fired. I started getting a little bit of a reputation. I don't talk to that dude. I don't know what happens, but I got fired. This other dude got fired. It was crazy. But God moved mountains during that time. Story after story, I would call up Pastor Dave. You're never going to believe this, man. You're never going to believe this. And I just counted the days. When are you going to release me from this prison, God? So one day, brand new salesman came in. Remember this one? Brand new salesman came in. The Lord says, tell him. I'm like, wow, he just got here. All right. And I rolled up on him one morning, barely knew him. I said, hey, man, I said, can I tell you something? He's like, sure. Now, I don't know what the message is yet. I'm waiting for God to tell me how to share this thing. But I know something's coming. And all of a sudden, I hear in my heart, and I start sharing. This is what I'm sharing to just about a complete stranger. So do you know why we've been created on earth? I'm like, what? Who talks that way? Especially to a car guy. Who talks that way? And so, we've been created to worship. Looking at me like I'm an oil painting, just staring right at me. And I go, I don't know if you know anything about scripture, but the devil might have been the worship leader. I'm like, oh, this is good. So not going to go good. This is so going to go south real quick. And says, yeah, the Bible says that he had pipes in his inside, and he was beautiful. And so there's a real strong contention that he was the worship leader of all of heaven, just the way he was described of how what he looked. And I said, we've all been created to worship. And you have to decide if you're going to worship God or if you're going to worship Satan. Gotta go now. And this dude goes, are you done? I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm done. I'm pretty much done. I'm a wrap. That's a wrap. And he says, hold on one second. I want to show you something. You're going to love this. And he says, check this out. And it's him playing piano better than anyone I had ever seen in my life, like a regular person, just playing piano it was mind-boggling. He then looks at me with tears in his eyes and says, I used to be the worship leader at my church. I got hurt and I've left. I went, okay, hold on. Pastor Dave, you're never going to believe this. Now, our pastor is not a volcano. Very together. All the T's are dotted. I's are dotted. T's. He's not me. And he doesn't give this pulpit up, nor does he give that platform up to just anybody. 22 years I've been in this ministry. That don't go anywhere, anytime soon, anytime fast, to any stranger. And he says to me, tell him he's leading worship Sunday morning. This was on a Wednesday. I'm like, I'm looking at my phone, Pastor Dave? No, that's not Pastor Dave. Yeah. That's how powerful God was moving. I promise you, I couldn't make this up. I mean, I could, but I'm not. He gets fired 2 days later. And I lose touch with him. But when God is moving in a particular way that allows him to be glorified, then even in the place where you find yourself so overwhelmed, go back to that place where he moved, and he will move again, because he will move you and then move through you to get to you where you need to be, out of that place to glorify God. Once we have known the goodness of God, there is no other place to be. But in his presence, and simply know him. It is genuinely down to who or what you love more than God. That's the bottom line. When we finally make up our minds and decide to follow Jesus, the down times are less down feeling, and our understanding of who he is in the middle of the down times will lead us to sing, even if we are in a prison, being falsely accused, beaten, and left for dead. Acts chapter 16, verse 25 through 30. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. Then the keeper of the prison wakes up, and to cut through some of the verses here, oh my gosh, what the heck's going down? I'm in deep water. Someone, what is happening? Last verse, 30, and he brings them out, Paul and Silas, and says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Three keys of contentment or soul satisfaction in the middle of complete and utter discomfort. Three keys. I can do this in less than a minute. Watch. Reflection. Repentance and resolve. Think about how God has been so good to you. In verse 1, it says, my soul thirsts for thee. Ask for forgiveness in the sea of your doubt. Because you know you doubt when you get into a bad place. You know you do. Okay, I do. But I don't want to doubt anymore. Where is thy God in verse 3 of Psalm 42? And in Psalm 42, resolve. Decide as a form of worship to press in and move forward. Quitting is not an option. Calling yourself a follower of Christ and not doing anything to develop and foster and grow in your relationship with God is quitting. That's you quitting. I never said a prayer when I came to Jesus. I got up, I walked forward at the invitation, and God met me. I have a friend now who recently, about 3 years ago, was in his car and was hearing about the abuse of children and cried out to God and said, "Why are you letting this happen?" And God met him in that moment, in that car, at that time, with all the anger that he had growing up in church. He gave his life to the Lord fresh and new. And all he wants to do to this day is give his testimony. God can handle your doubt. But God can handle the horrible place where you might be even right now. Finally, in verse 11 it says, "For I shall praise him who is the health of my countenance." Reflection, repentance, and resolve. In Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6, you're going to just love this. This is your takeaway. Are you ready for it? Here's your prize. You came expecting, I got your prize for it. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not on your own understanding. Come on, I'm getting happy right now. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. He's not going to maybe nothing. He's going to do. You've been waiting for God to do something? This is how it gets done. This is not, I gotta read this now, so bear with me. This is my close. This is not some feel-good magnet saying bumper sticker, greeting card mantra based on psychoanalysis system of health and wealth, self-improvement, business guru, code of conduct, creed, to doubt, to debt-free living, all your I's are dotted, T's are crossed, man's opinion. This is not a suggestion. It is a command from the living word of God. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. He's not asking your opinion. He's not giving you some kind of maybe opting suggestion. This is a command. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Don't think about it on your own. You will think your way out of his presence. That is the tool of the enemy. But in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path.